The following recording is offered by the Village Zendo. For more information, please visit villagezendo.org.
So nice to see everyone. You can hear me okay? Good. You know, it's Mother's Day. And today, I'm thinking of the Dharma. Our Zen teachings, and how we can think of them as a kind of mothering presence in our life, one that brings us from kind of an infant-like reactivity and dependence to a kind of recognizing ourselves, individuating ourselves as fully independent and interdependent beings. I mean, that's what a good mother does. Huh? And I think the Dharma does that very well. In fact, the Wisdom Sutras, the Prajnaparamita Sutras, are known as the mother of the Buddhas. The Wisdom Sutras are the mother of the Buddhas. And in the Heart Sutra, which is, you know, kind of the pith of the Wisdom Sutras, it says, form is no other than emptiness, emptiness no other than form. Form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. Sensation, conception, discrimination, awareness are likewise like this. So this interconnectedness that is the heart of the mothering of the Prajnaparamita Sutras is so important for us to recognize in our lives. Because, you know, just as animal beings that we are, we do cling. We cling to fixed ideas, fixed reactivity, our delusions, how we cling. Even to the idea of a right practice, of a right way to live, a right form or a right scripture, or an understanding that will somehow save us and make us good. We may think that all we have to do is find the right tradition or the right teacher who will show us the right way. On the other hand, of course, it's true that we might recognize that the Zen teachings and the practice of Zazen meditation are what helps us to generate a realization of our own self nature. Maybe the Zen teachings do empower us to live and serve as bodhisattvas in this interim that we call our lives. Truly, I have found that true in my life and in the lives of so many that I've known these over these years. But it's tricky. How do we encounter, take in, and live the teachings without being brainwashed, without taking the wrong path? How do we avoid following these, you know, what we call false prophets? Crazy rules, or just bullshit ego. So it shouldn't surprise any of you that there's a Zen koan that addresses this problem. Among many, really, that look at this problem. And it's the koan that we're studying this month in the Path class. It can be found in the Book of Serenity, Case 53, Wang Bo's Dreg Slurpers, or in the Blue Cliff Record, Case 11. So it's a story that was deemed important enough to be in the two major collections of the Zen tradition. And the speaker, Wang Bo, is known as one of the great teachers of Zen. He was the forefather. His student was Rinzai, who started the Rinzai line. So it is out of Wang Bo's fountain that the whole Rinzai tradition emerges. So here's the koan. Wangbo said to the assembly, "You people are all slurpers of dregs. If you travel like this, where will you have today? Do you know that in all of China, there are no teachers of Zen?" So at that point, a smart guy, a monk, came forward and said, "Well, what about those who guide followers and lead groups in various places?" And Wangbo said, "I didn't say there's no Zen. I just said there are no teachers." You know, at first, this is kind of shocking. All of you listening to this talk right now, are you all just listening to bullshit? Yeah, probably. Don't you know there are no teachers of the Dharma? So listening to me may be a little bit like slurping dregs left over from some nourishment long gone. But then one of you steps up and says, "But what about all the Zen centers, the practice, the Zoom meetings?" And the reply would be just as Wang Po had it. "I didn't say there's no Zen, but there's no teachers." Simply and directly, he validates our practice, warns us not to lose ourselves in the expression of others, to validate our own experience and expression. So the koan reminds us that we can experience the wisdom of the Dharma, but we have to do it on our own. And this couldn't be more beautifully expressed by what we all see right now in all these little boxes. In every single one of these boxes on Zoom, there is an expression of the Dharma that is expressing itself or denying itself. So let's each of us experience our own realization of the Dharma and manifest it in our own unique way. No teacher or teaching can do that for us. It is on each of us to reveal our truth. And the dregs that we gobble, listening to this talk right now, hopefully it can just point the way to your own unique path. It's on each of us to walk that path with our own understanding and not with the dregs. Such an empowering notion, really. Yes, we study, and at the same time, we walk our own path. You know, and Dogen wrote of this in his marvelous study, Uji, which I'm continuing to work with, even though the Ango is over. He wrote about the great Zen teacher, Yaoshan. And Yaoshan asked Daiji, "I'm familiar with the teaching of the three vehicles and the 12 divisions, but what is the meaning of Bodhidharma coming from the West?" So this is wonderful what Yaoshan is asking. He studied the three vehicles, which are the three major schools, you know, three vehicles of the Dharma, the Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. So he studied all of that, as well as the 12 divisions, which means all the sutras and all the schools. But he still has a question. What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? Or putting it in our language today, what's the point of my study here now? What is the point of Zen? Do you ever wonder that when you get up in the early in the morning to sit Zazen? What is the point of this? What is the point of practice? So in Dogen's piece, Zen Master Daiji replies, and this is his answer to what is the point. For the time being, have him raise his eyebrows and wink. For the time being, do not have him raise his eyebrows and wink. For the time being, to have him raise his eyebrows and wink is right. For the time being, to have him raise his eyebrows and wink is not right. Hearing these words, Yao Shan experienced great enlightenment and said to Daiji, when I was studying before, it was like a mosquito trying to bite an iron bull. What is this? For the time being, have her raise her eyebrows and wink. For the time being, do not have her raise her eyebrows and wink. For the time being, to have her raise her eyebrows and wink is right. And for the time being, to have her raise her eyebrows and wink is not right. What's that about? Aren't you curious? What was it that Yao Shan realized, that we can realize reading those lines? What is it that all the study didn't teach us, but this can? So what happens? What is this raising of the eyebrows? That's what we do when we look at something. You know, we look and the eyebrows go up. And when we notice something, we blink or wink. Interesting, the translations all vary on that one word, but it just means dropping the eyes down and up. So there's noticing and then reacting. Noticing and then reacting. Or responding. So it's not theory. It's not literature. It's not a dead, vacant stare. But rather look and see. Look and see. This is what Yao Shan realized. You know, where I live every day, homeless people all around me. I don't see a homeless person and say, oh, homeless, and walk on. But instead, I can recognize the suffering. And if it's possible, offer a look, a gesture, maybe some spare change, but a recognition, a response. They're not part of the landscape. They are not in a dream. They are in reality. My reality. I raise my eyebrows. I see. When we raise our eyebrows to the world in front of us, and when we blink, when we react, we become an intimate part of the world around us. And whether we're concerned about the prison system, whether we're concerned about the racial inequality, whatever is arising, whatever causes us to raise our eyebrows, demands that we blink, that we act, that we respond, that we don't just stare blindly at a wall. And in that way, we become an intimate part of the world. We're not observing the world. We are the world. To blink is to recognize, to realize, to be whole. So when we see, we raise our eyebrows and we see the economic and racial violence of our home, where we live. To blink is to recognize, oh, there is a way that I can make a difference. There's a way I can act and help to make change. Seeing and acting, eyebrows and winks. As Dogen says, as he teaches, and this is what from Uji, what Daiji said is not the same as other people's words. The eyebrows and eyes are mountains and oceans. Because mountains and oceans are eyebrows and eyes, To have him raise the eyebrows is to see the mountains. To have him wink is to understand the oceans. The way I understand this is that these are words for us right now. This is not some 13th century ancient quotations. It's not something to bow down to. It's something to realize personally, in your relationships, eyebrows and wink. We're called every moment to recognize the suffering around us. It might be the poor and the angry, the abused. Every day we see another example. And it may be a friend, colleague, a neighbor. It might be a piece of land. It might be a country. There are those who are afraid of vaccines, afraid of change, afraid of the other, not seeing that they themselves are their own demons. That not seeing, not raising the eyebrows, and not winking has created a mouthful of dregs, of old tribal chants that only serve a few. And yes, I'm thinking of those who followed Trump. I'm thinking of those who followed Hitler or Caesar or Stalin, Falwell, or even the Pope or His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. Any kind of blind following. If we continue to believe in the words of politicians, of writers, Zen teachers, of saints, we neglect to see for ourselves. We betray ourselves. Do not take in the dregs of old ideas, even old Zen ideas. We have to, each of us, raise our eyebrows in seeing and blink our eyes to clear away the fog and see what is here right now. It's hard to recognize the way forward, particularly when we're discouraged or personally feeling weak. It's no wonder that we want to lay our burden down at the feet of someone else, of a teacher, or some lines in a teaching, or in some politician or group. But that is not the way. It is our ordinary life, in the time allotted to us on this earth, that we can find our way. Sure, the teaching and the teachers can be helpful. Reality itself can support us on our journey and help us to recognize that finally it is us who must raise our eyebrows and wink. It is us who must discern our own path. So look carefully at our practice. The freedom of Zazen, the sitting mind that settles you and allows you to recognize that you are the mountains and oceans and the joy and the suffering, and that it's your bodhisattva nature that's always available to you if you can stop and see, raise your eyebrows and wink. So that's what the final line of that koan means. I didn't say there's no Zen, because Zen is our path. Sitting together, being held by our rituals and chanting and bells protects us and encourages us to find ourselves, find our own self nature and how it is we can act spirit holy and with a bodhisattva spirit. Here's my gatha for today. Discard the dregs. No time to waste. Study and practice. Fully awake. Fully alive. Trust yourself. Thank you.